Right. Hello, everybody. This is super exciting. Welcome to the Your Time to Grow podcast, dedicated to personal growth and self-mastery. I'm a bit of a a bit of a flutter today because I have my first ever guest coach. With me, I have Lisa Hopper, who is a wonderful friend, my coach, but she is a professional coach and founder of the UK School of Coaching and Self-Mastery. She studied and trained in coactive coaching with the Coaches Training Institute, solutions-focused coaching with Erickson Coaching International. She's a certified practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. Is advanced practitioner in the three principles and holds a level 7 advanced diploma in human resource management, accredited by the CIPD, and she graduated in business with honours from Anglia Ruskin University. Loving service is Lisa's compass point and stands at the heart of everything she does. She's passionate about empowering individuals and supports people to expand their state of being, to discover who they truly are, to move beyond any limitations carried in their mind, and champions people to a more into more expansive possibilities and greater freedom and joy in life. In 2019, Lisa had a vision to create a world-class platform and community that would enable brilliant coaches to learn the business building side of coaching while deepening their understanding of themselves, allowing for more focused, impactful, and consistent action, and creating a growing business and income with fun, lightness, and freedom. She works with people ready to live a created life, and her clients include corporate executives, business owners, lawyers, health experts, finance professionals, coaches, and many more. Feeling at home wherever she is, Lisa was born in England, lives in Scotland, and has lived, worked, and studied in New Zealand, Australia, and Canada. She has a love for sport, travel and culture, and is currently writing her first book. So welcome, Lisa. I am super excited to have you here.
Thank
And as well as all of that, what I really invited you to talk to us about is your trip to Antarctica.
you.
I want we'll have a kind of conversation, and whatever comes up, we will trust is most useful to the listeners of this podcast. Let's start with telling us a bit about how you created that trip to Antarctica.
Yeah, totally. Firstly, I just want to say thank you. And it's such a privilege and a joy to be your first ever guest on this podcast. I know how much heart and soul goes into everything that you do, the impact that you want to have in the lives of others. So honestly, it's like I have this exciting feeling in my stomach as well for whatever we're going to create in this conversation here, and the difference that your podcast is going to be making out there in the world. So it's a joy to be here. So thank you for having me. And as you were sharing, I think I want to start off by saying the bit that gets me alive about that introduction is not the first bit with all the credentials and, all the certification. It's the other stuff. It's that service is my compass point. It's the difference that I want to make. It's how I show up to life. It's being willing to put aside everything I know and step into, a growth container and to learn from others and to move the ego out of the way and to just be a beginner. And so I think I'm sharing that because I feel it in my body. Like I feel that's the part of the bio that I connect to, the bit where it's the accolades are not who I am. That's just something I've done. And your question, this is so relevant to the question of like, how did you create this Antarctica trip? Because it's so few people that get to explore this seventh continent. And I was one of those really blessed to go. And it was so exciting. And I will go into detail. It all kind of happened very spontaneously in the last, this very last minute. But I think part of what I'm sharing here is what had me create my way onto that expedition. So not necessarily what I've done, but how I show up to life. and that willingness to put my hand up and make bold requests, and to then relax and surrender into the trust of, if it's meant to occur, it's going to occur, and if it's not, that's okay too. And I think having that compass point for my life of, I can be very active in my creations, and I can also not suffer them when they don't occur as I expect them to occur, or as my mind is telling me it should have occurred. And that is part of what lets me keep making the asks. I don't take the universe's plans personally.
Nice. And I think it's really that's part, for me, that's part of the self-mastery of it all, that it's a mindset in the broadest, most kind of accessible level. It's how you approach stuff and who you create yourself to be, like, and that's language that I've learned from you over the last couple of years. And we get to create kind of what we want from kind of who we're being. And you know, like, you're a master of that. I love that. And so I can, you know, things come and or don't work out or whatever happens, and we can kind of just sit back and kind of go, yeah, like, that's okay. Like, it's the ease and the flow in which it happens.
One of the things that I'll share about this creation of the Antarctic trip is, I mean, it's hard to trace it back to where it began, but it probably goes right back. But just from what's in my awareness currently, I put myself through a pretty bold investment. I put myself into rooms where these kind of trips occur. And there was a message that landed in my social media feed. It's a part of a group that I was in that said, there's this opportunity, there's one space remaining on a stewardship trip to the Antarctic with 150 thought leaders and business owners and entrepreneurs. And I was awake because it landed at, like, I think it was 2, 3 in the morning, and I had just returned from Vancouver to Scotland. And so I had jet lag. So I was wide awake at this time in the morning when normally I wouldn't have been. And I saw it, and instantly I knew who this ticket was meant for. And it wasn't me, right? So I have a client who, Charlie, you know, who I love dearly. And when we started working together, they had shared with me about their dream to go to Antarctica, and it had been a 30-year dream in the making. And so at the time, it was, I don't know the how that we'll do this, but I'm holding it up there as possible. And so my practical mind goes to, well, we can create more wealth in your business, and then we can afford this trip. And so my practical mind can switch on and think of solutions. But really, I feel like there was something deeper at play when you just hold it as possible, let go of any attachment to how we're going to do it, and just stay open to receive. And when it feels like when the person was ready, this opportunity came in. And so I saw this message, and I messaged my client and said, check this out, right? And then let me know as soon as you wake, because I think this is going to go pretty quickly. It may already have gone by the time you wake. And so he messaged, we had some back and forth, and sure enough, he was a powerful yes for being on this trip, on this boat with all of these incredible leaders. And I was over there going, damn it, like, I wanted a place on that trip. But there's something that I value more, and that's integrity. So if a client comes to me and says, this is my dream, Lisa, who am I to sweep in and take that dream, right? It's like, it's my job to serve you as my client, and we're working together in partnership to bring your dreams to life. And it's not at the cost of me. I want to say that. It's not one rises over the other, one's, gaining at somebody else's cost. But for me, in that moment, it was just very clear in my body, I'm proud of who I am, and it's because I live in alignment with this value of integrity. It was the only option for me to send that message to my client. And so I'm a big fan of also making outrageous requests. And I just thought, why not? Right? Like, my mind had already gone to, gosh, the doors that this trip could open, how fabulous it would be to be in an environment with these kind of thinkers over a couple of weeks period of time. And so my mind was already really super excited about it. And so I just thought, you know what, I'll put it out and I'll ask. And so I did. I put it out there and I just kind of shared and meditated on it and actually wrote in an email to somebody, like, if by any chance a second miracle is meant to happen today, I would love a place on that ship. But I had to check in first, because this is really important. We can be really like maverick with our requests, and then when it comes to crunch time, we're not willing to make the investment. So this was still a big investment. So I had to check in. If I'm going to ask for this, am I willing to be the one that says yes when the opportunity comes? And I think that's a huge part of what we do with this self-mastery piece. It's around letting go, shedding any limitation, any idea that we have of ourselves that stops us from being the one that can say yes when the moment arises. And so it isn't a moment in time where it's like, okay, now or never, I better get to be the person that can say yes. It's like the compound effect of all the work that we do on ourselves day in, day out, which we can have fun with, by the way. When I say work, it's not necessarily effort and struggle and hard. It can be uncomfortable, of course, but you can learn to be with it in a way that has it feel light and freeing and joyful. And that's really a perspective shift. So this is a very long-winded answer, but it's like that is kind of how I created my way onto the boat through a process of self-mastery. Who are you going to be in each moment that has you let go of those ideas about yourself, so that when the time comes, you know, you're ready to say yes?
Absolutely. I love as well, like, your willingness to make outrageous requests. I think there's something in that as well, you know, in being accepting of who we are enough to kind of say, I'm going to do it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I think that's something that everybody can ask, you know, like, if there's a dream or a goal or a, it, well, it doesn't really matter. It might come out of nowhere and kind of this opportunity is presented itself to me and I'm just going to ask what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say, no, I'm really sorry. We couldn't create a second miracle today. And yet time and time again, I hear from people saying, well, I asked and, you know, it was a yes. And, and that's really inspiring to me and really inspiring to other people. So that's awesome as well. I think good for you more than good for you, because I know you and like, yeah, you're the queen of stuff like this. But
it was so fun. It's so fun to ask, Charlie. I think that's the difference, is there's an absence of believing any judgment. So note what I said there. It's not an absence of judgment. Occasionally it is. There's just no judgmental thought. There's no concern of what would somebody think, or what if I put it out there and I don't get it and that means something about me. There's just the absence of believing any of that noise that we tell ourselves. And so again, coming back to the process of self-mastery, it's a process of really questioning what the ego mind is trying to tell us about ourselves. I think that's been a big part of it. And then there's the freedom to ask, but there's also the devotion to the goal and to the expansive life that I want to live. And so I'll ask again. I don't hear no, and then I'm like, oh, well, that's it forever. Close that, you know, close the book. I'm like, okay, well, let's keep writing this chapter where a yes could be created. And that chapter often involves continuing to ask and staying open to it. Might not look this way, but there's a way of just continuing to ask. And I think that's one of the things that I really took from being on the ship. I remember being in conversation with someone and they were sharing with me about one of the dreams that hadn't come true for them as yet. And we were creating live in that moment. And I was saying, like, look who's over there. I can see a doorway to what you want here. Why don't you go and make the ask? And so the ask was made. And then there was a contraction into this belief of like, I can't ask again. So this is how the mind stops us. I can't ask again. It's impolite. It would be pushy. It comes up with all of these ideas. So it's not being like gung ho and just being like asking all the time, being a pain in somebody's ass. It's like, okay, I'll put the ask out, and then we acknowledge ourselves, because that might have been kind of scary for someone to do, right? That might have been a really brave moment for them. So it's about really slowing down and appreciating, wow, I just asked. Like, good for me. You start to see yourself differently. So when you see yourself as the person who doesn't ask, then we don't ask. But when you start to reimagine who you are through, gosh, let's just recognize that win. Let me slow down and take a moment, and that is enough. I learned to ask. In this moment, I am someone who asks. Then we can take the feedback. Oh, well, they said no, they said not yet, they looked uncomfortable. We can take the feedback and we can work with it. What went well, and what would I do a little differently next time? How could I add a little bit more power to this ask? What did I hear myself say that I would reshape for the next ask? You know, like, where did I leak my power in my ask? How could I have created myself differently to that person? And so we learn so much in being on the pitch. You know, I always talk about this metaphor of like, get on the pitch, get the ball, kick the flipping penalty, because you'll be able to get the feedback to know how you need to readjust. And so it's the same with life. I make the ask, I tweet, I take the feedback. I don't take it to heart. I don't make it mean that I'm not worthy, or I'm not enough, or I should have done better. I'm just like grateful that I was asking. And now I get to practice developing a more powerful ask.
And like I hear in that kind of who you're creating yourself to be, as in who you're being in that moment, and also resilience and growth mindset and all of those, all of those kind of concepts as well. Were there any kind of any other kind of key insights or lessons that you learned from the experience in Antarctica that would be, well, I was going to say that would be relevant, but they will be relevant to the listeners.
I mean, I can complete that experience. There's so many, Charlie. We could literally have like we could take up over your show for probably the next 10 years.
Yes,
It was
let's do
so
it.
powerful being in that space. There's one, right? Get in the environments that really serve you, that expand your minds, where people are doing what you want to do and have what you want to have, because you'll start to learn how they see the world, how they see themselves, how they interact. So just from being in those environments, it's such a game changer when you can really invite yourself into that way of being in your life. But what I didn't share about that example that I just gave was this person, their request was that they wanted to sing, right? So that was their dream. I want to be a singer. And the person who they'd made the ask to was the cruise manager on board the ship. And so he had some influence over the agenda. And there was a piano. We had high tea every afternoon at 4 p.m. And I was like, you know, I'm visualizing. I can see you playing the piano and singing and people having high tea. So anyway, this ask was made, and then that was it. And then the next day we went out onto land, and I was speaking to one of the guides, and I just got curious with him, right? Like, what do you do when you're not here? Like, when you're not doing all of this guiding, what's your interests? And he's like, oh, I love music. And I was like, do you play the piano? So I'm just creating, right? Using my voice to create. The idea has been planted, and now I'm open and curious about other people. So it's not like I'm going and intentionally like, are you a musician? Are you a musician? Which would be an option as well. You know, that could be a great option of like, oh my gosh, I'm making someone's dream come true. I'm looking for a musician who can play the piano. So you could do it that way. But I was just in conversation, curious about people. And I was open to hearing the opportunity. And so I said to him, you know, I know a singer. And hear how I say it. I know a singer. Not, I hear someone who would really love to be a singer, but is feeling a little bit of self-doubt and isn't sure. I know a singer. How about we create something here at High Tea? right? So I'm starting to plant the seeds. And what I love most about this story is that none of that even needed to occur because the schedule got changed. And all of a sudden, there's an open mic night on the ship the very next day. And so this person who I'd been in conversation with played the piano and sang beautifully. And it was just so incredible. It's like, gosh, you put it out there and you just, it's come from this like high vibration of anything's possible. The other insight that I took from the trip was like, well, of course, energy. And this was a casual conversation that I was having over coffee with somebody, and they were just super chill. And I was like, I want that. I want super chill. And they were like, well, of course, well, of course. But everything, like, of course, we had a Drake Lake, which is when the water on the Drake Passage is really still. So the waves can get up to 30 foot. And it's a really notorious piece of water. Now, I hadn't done any research and realized this until the evening before we were leaving, and we were at a tango show, and everyone was having these conversations about sea legs and being seasick and the size of the waves. And I was like, oh, hold on a second here. I didn't actually look up that. But they were like, yeah, well, of course we had Drake Lake. Of course we had that, you know. Of course we manifested that we saw whales, this particular breed of whales that is really rare. The guides actually had to look up what is that that we're looking at because they just hadn't seen them before. Well, of course we saw those whales. And I just thought, what is it like to live life from, well, of course, energy? And so I did. And I was, you know, if you don't, if that's too out there for you, just try it for 24 hours. But when you try stuff, you've got to be willing to be wrong about your original perspective. Right, you've got to be willing to just let go of that being the way, the only way, and just invite yourself into something else and try it on. And it will feel odd. It will feel, you might feel resistance, but that's okay. It's like just breathe through the resistance and be willing to have some fun and try it on anyway. You know?
All the best things happen, I found, when you do that. When you
Mm.
challenge your own perspective and you're like, and sometimes a little bit of, oh, what, why didn't I do this sooner? You know, and why didn't I try this earlier? But I think the thing with that is to kind of then say, yeah, but I did try it. Like, I could have gone through life never trying it, and I've tried it, and now I've opened up this huge kind of perspective. And how exciting is that?
Yeah, thank God I got to see it today. Oh my God, it's made today amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
can you?
and well, of course, there's another perspective. There's always another perspective, right?
Yes, and that's what I love about this journey of self-mastery. It's like I'm not coming into this call being like, this is the end of the story, and how I see life is as good as it gets. It's like great now, regardless of circumstances. And I'm so fascinated by what else might occur, you know? But it's not a need for something else to occur. It's a love of learning. It's a love of just seeing how good things can get. But it's my well-being and my okayness and not dependent on anything outside of me. And that is a practice. And it's something that I constantly just hold up for myself. We're human, so we get fooled into thinking that, well, I didn't get the pay rise, or I didn't get the client, or you know, my car was in an accident. Or we get wrapped up in our ideas about circumstances, and that is what takes us away from our joy and our peace and our well-being. And it will happen. I don't actually don't know anybody. Maybe Byron Katie is probably the closest I've ever been to being in the presence of somebody who literally does not seem deterred by any of her circumstances, to the point where, you know, in a vehicle about to have a collision and is saying to herself, well, I don't want to miss the trip. You know, if this is my last breath that I get to take on this earth, I don't want to miss the experience by my mind going to the past or the future. So, and she really does live what she's talking. I'm not at that level yet, but she's an excellent, excellent role model for if you want to create that level of peace and well-being in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a lovely kind of segue into kind of what challenges were there on your trip, and how kind of drawing on some of the principles you've already talked about, did you overcome them? Or maybe you didn't, and that was okay.
I would be lying if I said there was a lot of challenges because we were really well looked after. So the crew were incredible to us. We were well fed, we were well watered. I love coffee, and that was literally on tap. We had everything that we needed, and we had all the right gear. It wasn't as cold as I was expecting it to be. We had the base layers, we had the gloves, we had the padded jacket. So I don't know that I really felt that many challenges. Like, we were traveling in comfort, I would say. The closest that I got to a challenge was when we did a polar plunge. And they attached a rope to us, so we were safe. And then we literally just jumped one by one into the Antarctic waters.
It's like the sea around the boat. This you jumped off the boat
Yes, we
into the
jumped
sea.
off of the boat. Yeah. So whenever we were doing a landing, we would go out in these little dinghies, which were called Zodiacs. And sometimes we would land, and other times we would just stay in the dinghy in the Zodiac. And that way we would launch ourselves off of the main boat into those smaller boats was where we actually, they were like, it's just like getting into a Zodiac, except there's no Zodiac.
And it's freezing
That's how
cold
they said
water.
it to us. Yes. So I was actually quite excited for it. I'm not afraid of the cold. I'm not really afraid of cold water. I've done a polar plunge. Basically, I did a Tough Mudder. So I jumped into icy water before. I also saved somebody's life who had decided to do a polar plunge, not on this trip, but many years ago in Scotland, and their body shut down on them because they swam too far and stayed out in the water for too long. So I ended up going in to bring them back out, and that was really cold. So I'm not afraid of things like that. That wasn't the challenge. But the challenge for me was this trip, I had like 6 days' notice to go on this trip. And I just arrived back from Vancouver, where I'd been for almost 2 years, and all of my things were still in boxes. And so I was like, I don't know where my swimming costume is. We weren't in wetsuits or anything like that. We were just in swimming costumes. So I got my swimming costume. I had no time to try it on, to buy another one. And I was like, I don't even know if this is going to fit, but I am really nervous about falling out of it. So I was like, I know that there's cameras everywhere. There's 150 people on this boat. I don't want to fall out of my swimming costume. So that was the biggest challenge for me. And the way I overcame it was there was somebody else, and I just believe that we were meant to pass by each other on the ship at this particular time. And they had said to me that they were feeling really nervous. They had some stuff happen in their life where they just didn't want to go and have their head under the water. And so my personality type is to be quite nurturing, and I'm a team player. So now there was somebody that shifted the focus off of me and falling out of my swimming costume onto something else. So that's kind of important to know that's what's going on. It's not that I've got somebody else, it's that my mind has shifted the focus. So all of a sudden there was like, right, I'm going to help you. So we got the cruise director, and we had a little word in his ear, and we were like, is there a way that we could do this like after everybody else, so that it's not so raucous in the mud room? So that might be a way of staying calm. So we were doing these little things, and he was like, not really, because the staff then all get to have a go. But we were trying to find ways to make it doable, I suppose, for this friend of mine. And it just took my mind completely off anything that I was afraid of. And in that process, there was just this relaxing of who cares if I fall out? Like, really, who cares? Like, there is a way of me relating to that that could have some fun with it. The only thing that can cause me pain in that moment is if I have a judgment on it. So even if other people are like, oh my God, she fell out of her swimming costume. That's really embarrassing. That's hilarious. Whatever anybody else is saying, it can only hurt me if I believe it. And so it's so empowering to know that anyone is free to say anything. But it's actually how I'm judging it that creates my experience of it. And I do believe that all the work I've done up until this point, and what we were saying earlier about don't wait until the moment, like do the work now, all of that had this just fall away. And when I remember when I first started coaching and I worked a lot on limiting beliefs, all of my workshops were around limitations in the mind. And I would literally rewrite the belief. So my belief is, it's going to be really embarrassing. I would be mortified. And I would literally have to rewrite that to something else. And it would feel like a stretch sometimes. You know, you would try the new belief on, but the old one was too sticky. So I couldn't quite get there. But just from being willing to stay in the practice of that, now with a lot of things, I'm at the stage where the belief lets go of me. It's like, what is the perspective? I'm ready to jump into it. What is the reframe here? And I don't even need to do it, essentially. I don't need to write it. I don't need to try and force anything. It just comes to me. There's an expansiveness that there's a bandwidth that's not full of a load of noise where this new idea about the whole thing just shows itself, you know? And I was like, gosh, that would actually be a really funny story to tell. I could use that in my work. There was like so much freedom around it that it just, I didn't even care. I've gone from like super worried to I don't even care if this happens. That was the process that I've gone through over these years that I think has allowed this instant shift to happen in that moment.
100%. I love that. I love that. Okay, so I've got some questions. Let me choose a
Why have you
good
got
one.
more mischievous grin on your face now you've got your questions out? I
Yeah,
should I be
they're
worried?
no, you
This
definitely
is
don't
about
need
to
to
be the
worry.
most challenging part.
No, I don't. I shouldn't think so. I have a nurturing what how did you just describe yourself? Kind of natural setting. So
Yes.
no, I think, well, what I love about you, Lisa, is your stories. Like you tell a story. Well, you're talking about something, but you add like a really like brilliant metaphor or the way you tell a story, and it kind of gets me kind of captured. And I'm like, I could just listen to you all day. Were there any moments during like, before you went or like whilst you're there, since you've been back, that have particularly tested your self-discipline, and if so, how did you navigate them?
There wasn't enough time beforehand for anything to be tested because it was such a like, here's the opportunity, pay, go. So there wasn't really a lot of time to think about anything, to the point where I was even buying socks in Buenos Aires because I'd forgotten to pack them.
Brilliant.
I would say one of the things that I wanted to do was write a journal whilst I was there. Because it's such a unique opportunity. And I wanted to capture the experience as it was happening so that it was really fresh, and real. And I wasn't good at that. I was always like somewhere else to be, someone else to speak to. I was really living like in the moment. And so the idea that I had of I want to write this journal, I wasn't super disciplined about doing it. But again, I was okay with that because it's like things change and you can set an intention, but then if when you're there, that doesn't feel like the most important thing anymore, it's okay to let go of the intention. Now, if I set the intention and that was still the most important thing to me, but I was finding reasons not to do it, that would be something different. That's not what I'm talking about here. But I wasn't very disciplined doing it. So I did still write it, but I found a way for it so that I could have everything. And so what's funny is my journal is usually written like 3 days later or 2 days later. And I'm writing it like, I don't know this yet, but I'm about to. So I go back 2 days before and I write the date and I'm like, I don't know that this is going to happen yet, but I'm about to have the most weird experience.
Love it.
Yeah, so it's actually been really fun to write it that way. And the other thing that I'll share here about this, because I've known this for a while since I've been coaching, that our experience is created through our minds, right? Not what's happened, but everything is kind of, we put the meaning on everything. And my experience of the polar plunge, have I shared this with you, Charlie? I can't
Shared it
remember.
with me, but I'm so happy that you're about to share it with
I'll share.
people listening as well.
So my experience was, we were all in the mud room. You line up, they call you by group, so you line up and you're in your dressing gown, and then you just have your swimming costume on underneath. And then when it's your turn, or the person, like there's one or two people in front of you, and then you take your dressing gown off and you can feel the wind on your skin, right? So the guys were like, don't worry, this is actually colder than the water, because I was like, oh my gosh, this feels quite cold. So anyway, I jumped. There was a camera, so I thought I would scream for dramatic effect. And when I got out of the water, I was sharing, what happened. People were saying, how was it? How was it? And so I was like, oh my gosh, let me tell you, it was horrific. I said, I screamed and I forgot to stop screaming before I landed in the water. So I swallowed all of the water and then I was just going down for ages. And it was like time stood still, and I just forgot that I had to swim. And then I remembered. So I started swimming back up to the surface. And by the time I got back to the ladder to pull myself out, my body was so cold. I didn't feel, my mind wasn't telling me it was cold, but my body wasn't working. And I couldn't get my hands on the ladder to pull myself out. I had to like have a few attempts. And that was how I shared my experience. And that wasn't like me remembering 3 months later and telling people. That was immediately after. I was like, that's what happened. And then somebody had taken a video of me. And I was like, do I really want to watch this video? But yes, I do. Curiosity got the better of me. So I hit play. I covered my nose and my mouth. I completely stopped screaming before I hit the water. I popped up straight away. I swam perfectly back to the ladder with a big smile on my face, and I put my arms on the ladder and crawled straight out. It was the total opposite experience of what my mind was telling me had happened. So, what do you make of that? Like, how can we be so attached to our perspectives and to our ideas about how things are when we have an experience like that? So there was just something powerful about, let go of that and look
Yeah.
again.
Well, and also when we're faced with the truth, there's still a little bit of, but that didn't happen, right?
Yeah,
Are you sure you were abducted this? The
the video
video must be wrong because my memory, like I'm in my mid-40s, so like my memory is perfectly intact,
wrong.
but actually, it takes sometimes that kind of actual evidence, and we don't have that in everyday life, do we? We have to kind of I've been telling this story, in my coaching sessions. I'm like, well, my coach Lisa, you'll never guess what happened. And she did, and in saying exactly what you just said, and people are like, huh, yeah, because it's really easy to believe that our mind is what it's telling us is true.
Yes, and we've learned from such a young age that to get things wrong is bad. So we fight for our experience, right? We fight for our side of the story, because if we aren't fighting for it and right about it means we're wrong. And we know subconsciously that's a bad thing, right? That because that's how we've been programmed. So it's like our brains are designed to look out for fear, and we've learned from a young age that wrong is bad. And now I'm also in my mid-40s, and it's like, what if I just really reimagined the wiring and the programming and everything that I've been taught to something that serves me now, and that that's the data feed. So we live our lives by this data feed, and we so rarely stop to question it. And it's often because if we question it, gosh, does that mean that I'm going to doubt myself all the time? Does that mean that I won't be confident? Does that, how can you trust myself? Again, that's just an unhelpful narrative. That's not really what we're saying here. It's a completely different energy to be able to let go from love and not need to be right and be okay and be grounded and centered and healthy and happy. Oh, if I let go of that, it means that I'm doubting myself. It's very, very different ball games that we're playing there.
100%. And also, I think, like, I talk a lot about the reticular activating system, so the kind of science behind the fact that we look for evidence to back up what we believe. So if we're going to be making up what we believe, we might as well be making it up in a positive way,
Yes.
because, you know, if we, yeah, th otherwise that feed just becomes the negative. I see it with my eldest daughter in particular. So for those of you listening, like, if I haven't said it before, this is the first time you're listening. I've got three kids, three girls, and the eldest one, she will grab the most negative thing she can in a situation, even if it's the tiniest thing, and she will hold on to that all day. And I've started challenging her on it and kind of going, and so a bit like your video going, well, you remember we went to the cinema on your birthday, so, and we then went out for pizza, so we did celebrate your birthday. And she's like, yeah but, and I'm like, no, not yeah but, you know, here's the video to prove it, here's you kind of having fun at the pizza place, yeah but this bad thing happened. And I'm like, yeah, but look at all the good things that happened as well. And so my role as her parent, as her mum, and my role as a coach, and certainly you do this for me as your coachee, is to hold up that kind of challenge and say, let's just rerun, you use it a lot, let's rerun the game film and see what kind of, you know, really happened.
Yeah,
I love that.
it's so much more fun to shift the focus and shine the light on all the things we do have to be grateful for and everything that has worked and the possibility of things working and shine the light on. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work because I can always have another go. And it's so much more fun to navigate life from that direction. And sometimes there are really sticky thoughts and beliefs that don't release us in order to shift our feet into that direction. And safety has always been a big value of mine. And so if someone's trying to get me to come along this way for the ride, but there's something fundamentally that feels unsafe to me, it's going to be hard to shift me along there because I think danger, danger, danger. Now, it might not even be an awareness. It might not be a conscious thought. It might be some subconscious programming that's not phys it's not actually allowing me to come in that direction with you. So my mind, logical mind, can't get there. No amount of reasoning is ever going to get me there. So in those moments, if you have a belief like that, work with someone to help extract it because it really could be lurking in the subconscious. And I remember a very powerful moment with my coach where I'd connected, A and B that just weren't connected. And it was so disempowering and so restricting. And the minute that I saw it, I could try out a different perspective that, and that was where my freedom lay. And it was life-changing for me. And he'd said words to me like, "You're safe 97% of the time." But it was like I had this idea that I was then sheep dipping everything, and attaching this fear to everything, even though the circumstances were wildly different. And I hadn't realized that that's what I was doing. So you want to go fishing a little bit. If there is something in there that's like, no, it's not safe, or I just can't seem to get someone to come with me, or if you're the person that can't wants to come this way but isn't making any sense to, like, I don't know why I can't get over there. You might just want to work with a coach or a guide and just or journal for yourself, but really go looking for like what's the thing that's in the way, that what is that resistance? And then don't be afraid to look at the resistance. And just a good way that I love to do it is like, where is it in your body? So often for me, it's like in my gut. Sometimes it's like in the chest or even here, like in the throat. And I literally like just put my hands on that part of my body and I ask, like, what is it that you want for me in the positive? So if let's go back to the polar plunge experience, I'm sure if I'd have done this and I'd put my hand on that part of my body and asked it that question, it would have been like to avoid embarrassment. Right? I want to avoid embarrassment. I want to feel comfortable. And so I can then start to reassure that part of me. And I can start to look at, do you need to stay in your swimming costume to feel comfortable? You know, like what would it be like to be comfortably joyful, having fun? What would it be like to crack a joke about this? What would it be like to have a fun story to share about this? How could this actually be the best thing to happen to you? How could this be the most comfortable thing? So I'm just playing with higher quality questions. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not shutting it down. I'm not resisting it. I'm actually allowing it to have a voice, but I'm getting it to understand that I've got you. You know, it's just a part of us, not the whole of us. We're bigger than that little part, and it might just need some healing. So hopefully that's helpful. The metaphor I always use is like a kid in a playground. If you have a kid who's lost its mom, lost its dad, lost its big brother or sister, you know, the way to stop the kid from crying is not to shout at it. It's to probably like crouch down so that you're the same level and reassure and, you know, have you lost your mom? Let's find your mom. So it's that kind of energy, that loving energy that we need to bring to ourselves in those moments, not like beat yourself up with a stick. You should know this. You should be able to do this. That's never super helpful. It's never fun either.
No, it's not. No. And that kind of that deep inner work is such a fundamental part of moving forward, and exploring that is, and to do that with kindness is, yeah, I am 100% on board with that idea. Rather than giving ourselves, we give ourselves such a hard time anyway. We don't need to add to that. So I'm only going to keep you another, well, only keep you. I could talk about this and talk to you all day, but I'm going to ask you one final question, Lisa. So what most profoundly impacted you, your coaching, your journey of self-mastery by going to Antarctica? Just a small question.
What most impacted my journey, my coaching? Yeah, it is a big question. And I feel like today's answer could look different tomorrow and the next week and the next week. But I would say what's really super present for me is there was a way of enrolling me into being more of a steward for the environment. Now, this was a stewardship trip, but it hasn't always been high on my agenda. So I've always known there's more that I can do, but I haven't necessarily done it. So that's like a vulnerable share of just being able to own where you are without making it wrong, so that you can then step into, you know, what else is there for me to do that I can really take ownership of. And so I think on this trip, there were some really incredible people who were able to influence behavior change, not through shaming, not through judging, but through education, through painting a vision of how things can be, and through sharing, like, here are some ways that you can do this. And I really loved being a part of that, because that was, for me, that was an experience that I was in. You know, like, I'm the person whose behavior is now changing as a result of being on the receiving end of this kind of communication, this kind of influence, this kind of being state. And it makes me want to do more. And it's changed my behavior since I've come back. So I would say that's really powerful. Just for me, from a personal point of view, any coach that's interested in psychology, behavioral change, how do you enroll people from the heart? that's been massive. And so that, and then putting yourself in environments with people who think expansively and who are literally showing you the way. It's study those people. If you want something that you haven't got yet and someone else has, go and spend time with them. If you can't get time with them, study them. Just learn, see how they move, see how they groove, right? And just and take it and implement it. And you can do it now. It's not a future thing. It's like, I see that they make a powerful, outrageous ask. What would it be like for me to make an ask like that? And you're stepping into a new version of yourself now. It's not I make an ask from the person that I was 5 seconds ago. It's now I have that lesson. Now I just saw what they did. What about if I was to practice that? And I do it immediately, implement the learning immediately, let go of any idea that it needs to be plain sailing. It's going to be messy. Be okay with that. You're learning. Give yourself the gift of being a beginner.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I think for those people listening, you've got to see a little bit about how Lisa moves and grooves, and how being in this, they've come in, you're listening wherever you are in the world, kind of whatever you're doing, kind of listening to this conversation, and you've invited yourself into the room. That's what I love about podcasts, is that it's a choice, right? You can listen or not listen. And if you're kind of at this point in the podcast, you're almost at the end of it. And I'd be really interested to know what you kind of take away from it. Lisa, I'm sure, would be. In fact, how would people get in touch with you, Lisa, if they wanted to? Where would they find?
You can go to my website, lisahoppercoaching.com. My email address is on there as well. So lisahoppercoaching@gmail.com. You can send me a message. Yeah, I'd love to hear insights. This is why I do these kind of conversations, right? Not so that we can stay in a Zoom room together, but it's so that the message gets out there. I love empowering women in particular to have voices. So yeah, I'd love to hear from people and to hear the insights that they've had. And thank you, Charlie, as well for creating such a great space and a great conversation.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Thank you for coming on and being my first guest.
Yay!
I feel like this might kick off a whole series of empowered people to come on and share their stories. And I say this, and I know that you'll take it in the way I mean it. Like, you're just an ordinary person, right? But who's creating an extraordinary life. And I think what I love about working with you, and what I love since the first kind of moment we spoke, is that what is possible for you instantly feels possible for me. And I think, 5 years ago I was in a very different place, and I couldn't see how to get there. And now I kind of it's very different. And there'll be people listening who are like, oh well, it's all right for them, but I would invite them into the idea that it's possible for them as well.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a regular girl from the north of England, from a working class background that took a chance on myself and was really willing to do what it took to be able to create this kind of life. And when I went onto that ship, I mean, Peter Hillary was there. He's the son of Sir Edmund Hillary, who was the first guy to climb Everest. There was another woman there who she was the first person to scale all seven summits. She's from Bangladesh, a female. I mean, just incredible people were on that boat with all of these incredible accolades. But I still create myself as an equal because we have the capacity, inside of us to be so brilliant, so brilliant. But when we put people on a pedestal and we make ourselves small and shrink down, it doesn't serve us. Like gets in the way of that brilliance from being expressed. So really, like, please don't put me on a pedestal. And I don't think Charlie would want to be on one either. It's like, just allow yourself to see if they can do it, I can do it, or my version of that. What's my fullest life lived version? What's that? What is that for me? And I'll share something funny, just to show you how human I am. If you imagine meeting a legend that is Peter Hillary, right? It's like he's been to Antarctica. This was his 43rd trip. He's hiked Everest with his dad. He's got insane travel stories. There is so much courage in that guy. And yet he's the most down-to-earth, humble person ever. The first thing that I said to him, I was with my cabin mate. We were dressed in orange, yellow, and green, the three of us, right? We all had a different color top on, just coincidence. And I said to him, "Oh my God, can we have a picture together? We look like citrus fruits." I was like, "We look like a fruit basket." And he was like, "Well, of course, let me wrap my green around me a little bit more." So just there's a humanness to everyone. There's a fun that you can have, a playfulness with life, and we're not taking ourselves so seriously and telling ourselves, professional looks like this. And so just allow yourselves to really step into that, uniqueness and brilliance of you. And you will be a magnet for the people you want to be around, and you will be a filter for the people who you're not, and that is okay.
Well, I think that is a perfect note to end it on. So thank you so much, Lisa. I've absolutely loved speaking with you today, and hope to have many more conversations with you.
I hope so too. Thank you so much.